Yeah, any praise reports? Any prayer requests?
Yeah, we better pray for the hill country. It's supposed to get 17 inches.
17 inches of rain?
No.
All at once. We had a big sale.
Okay, well, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over the people in the hill country, and we ask that those that would be in a flood zone, Father, that they can get to safety and get their livestock to safety and keep everybody out of the way of this. And Father, we thank you for the blessing of rain, and we ask you that if it comes in feet, that it doesn't cause destruction. In Jesus' name, amen.
And send the extra
one. Well, I guess if you haven't had any rain, 17 inches is a lot to get at one time. Yeah. Okay, open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. How did everybody enjoy our speaker? She's got a little different way of seeing things, a little different way of preaching, but that's the ministry. Everybody's got a different way of doing things. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I got to studying a long time ago, and I kind of noticed that the number 7 seemed to be significant. And I got to identifying different things, and I decided that there were 7 major things that Jesus did with his blood. See, 7 is a number of completion, and I know there's a lot of things. This is not going to be a comprehensive study on the blood of Jesus, but remember I told you a lot of times that every time Jesus shed his blood, we get redemption in some area, and it's really worth your time to find out these different things so you can claim these redemption qualities of the blood of Jesus. But just like a lot of things, if you don't know about them, how are you going to operate in them? How are you going to receive them? You know, the world has a saying, what you don't know won't hurt you. That doesn't count in our world. What you don't know can hurt you. You know, there's a lot of people running around, they don't know about a lot of the blessings that God has given them, and it hurts them every day. When we think of the resurrection, we need to also draw attention to his death on the cross and the shedding of blood so that we can walk in his victory. Remember, we talk about in the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. And in the New Testament, he's revealed. There's a lot of types and shadows of Jesus in the Old Testament. And you can see him in these different sacrifices. And when you go into the Old Testament, go in there with the understanding that you're saved by grace. And you're going in there and finding these redemptive qualities. You're not going in there looking for something to do. But you're going in there to find Jesus. He's all over in the New Testament. Leviticus chapter 16, now the first time I read Leviticus, and I got out of there, I thought, man, what a mess. What in the world is that all about? I had no idea that I was seeing Jesus. I couldn't see it in there. I just seeing all these rules and all these sacrifices and all these things, and I'm surprised I didn't have PTSD when I got done. But now I go in there, and when I see Jesus in there, it's really, really neat. And it really brings all more revelation of who he is for us today. Revelation chapter 16, verse 17. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. So the number seven is significant to God. You need to understand this. These priests would do certain things with this blood. And in the Old Testament, what you got was an atonement, which is just a covering, which means it'll wear off and you'd have to go get another atonement. You'd have to get another covering. But in the New Testament, what you get is a remission. Only the blood of Jesus can remit sins. The blood of animals could cover, but they couldn't remit. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now right there, we can see different reasons for the shedding of blood. Number one, there was transgressions. Number two, there was iniquities. Number three, there was peace. Number four, for healing. So you can see there's a lot of different reasons for the shedding of blood. Not just the forgiveness of sins. So let's look at this first place that Jesus shed his blood. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Now here's the thing that you have to understand about the blood of Jesus. It was never, ever spilled. It was never spilled. That sounds like an accident. It was shed on purpose. On purpose. And every time he shed his blood, he did it on purpose and it was for us. Every time he shed his blood, there was a reason for it. So let's find out these reasons here. Here in Luke 22, verse 44, says, "Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." At that garden, our willpower was redeemed. Adam lost our willpower in the garden. In a garden. And Jesus got it back in the garden. Now Jesus said down here in verse 42, says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now that was a prayer of consecration. "If it be thy will." He was doing something that nobody had ever even attempted to do. Now, a lot of times, you hear people say, they throw in that prayer of consecration. They'll be praying for healing, or they'll be praying for some kind of deliverance, or some kind of a miracle, or some kind of finances, or some kind of problem, whatever problem might be. And then at the end of that prayer, they'll say, if it be thy will. What that is just a way, that's just a cheapskate way to operate in doubt and unbelief. Then, you know, if something doesn't happen, then they can say, well, it wasn't God's will. That's foolishness. He wrote his will out in the Bible. He told us what he told us what we have. He told us what he would do. He told us what we can have. He told us what we can receive from him. And he told us that if we use his word, pray in the name of Jesus, we can expect to have answers to our prayers. Did he not say that? So, for somebody to throw in the prayer of consecration at the end of their prayer, they're either confused or they do not know the Word of God. And if they don't know, then they need to go to the Bible and find out what His will says. The New Testament is His will. That's His will for our lives. You know, we don't have to go on some sabbatical to find out what His will is for our lives. All we have to do is pick up the Bible and read it. I actually seen somebody leave their husband because they wanted to go find themselves. Been married 20, 30 years. Just jumped up and went to go find herself. She didn't know she was right in here. So we can declare that we receive power to say no to our will and yes to the will of God in Jesus' name. How do we receive from Him? We say thank you. Thank you, Father, for winning back my willpower with the shed blood of Jesus. You know, there's so many things we can't win in our own abilities. But in Him, we can do all things. Let's find another spot here. Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So the whipping post was another place that he shed his blood when he got scourged. Here's an interesting thing I learned about stripes on his back. It said it was supposed to be where he got 39 stripes. And evidently, there's 39 root diseases. I didn't know that, but evidently there's 39 root diseases, so Jesus got a stripe for each root disease. So sickness is part of the curse for breaking the law. Here's one of the big challenges for a lot of people. You have to understand that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Sickness is part of the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Let's go over there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And in verse 29 says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Part of the problem is we have such a mixed up, a little bit of law keeping, a little bit of grace keeping, you know, and we just have a hard time as people realizing that we're 100% saved by grace. That means everything that you're going to get from heaven is going to be by grace, that it might be by faith. But when you see him in his grace, he's going to see you in your faith. But it's going to be by grace. It's not going to be by your works. It's not going to be by your right doing. It's not going to be by your good behavior. Those things are great. But you're not going to earn anything from God. Period. You can only receive. And he's already given you all things freely with Christ Jesus. We have to receive it. That those stripes is symbolized in the broken body. The broken body is symbolized in the Last Supper. Look at Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 again. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, that cat o' nine tails was the cruelest form of punishment. And he took those 39 stripes because they figured that 40 stripes would result in death. Now here was the thing, when somebody got in trouble, they either got scourged or they got crucified. But they never got both. Jesus was the only one that ended up getting scourged and then crucified. But he had to do that to pay for everything that we needed. He had to do that to take our place. He had to completely take our full judgment upon him. Look at Psalm chapter 129, verse 3. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. So he's talking more about those stripes on his back. And you know, the Hollywood depiction of this is just not even close, because the Roman soldiers, when they seen him on the cross, they couldn't even recognize him as being a man. They just, when people looked at him on the cross, all they could see was just a piece of torn up flesh. So he bled all over the place. He took internal bleeding. You know, with those bruises, those deep bruises inside of him, there was shedding of blood. And here's the thing. There's sometimes people that have been through some horrific things in their life. And it causes them some terrible, terrible mental anguish and pain. But if they understand the blood of Jesus was shed for them, they can take that internally. They can get healing inside their souls, inside their hearts, so that they can get freedom from whatever happened to them. You know, sometimes there's some broken people. There's some very broken people amongst us that just, whatever had happened to them in the past is more than they're capable of dealing with. And I've noticed that some of these people have really big hearts, but they keep it protected with the wall of alcohol or drugs, you know, whatever it is to keep them from ever being hurt like that again. I've noticed that some of the most hurting people out there have some of the biggest, kindest hearts that you'll ever encounter. You don't see it often because they got to keep it masked so they don't get hurt again. So we can decree, we can command every sickness, every disease to leave our life in the name of Jesus. Because our healing has been paid for by the Master. We are free in the name of Jesus. It's not something that we earned or deserved. It's just something that we fell heir to. It's something that has already been bought and paid for and freely given to us. So we can receive our healing by thanking Him. Thank you for freeing me from all diseases. You know, in the curse, you know, it talks about the blessings. You know, everybody reads about the Deuteronomy blessings, but not often do they ever go through and read the rest of it and see what entails in the curse. One part in there, it says, and this curse of sickness of the diseases that haven't even been named yet. That's part of the curse. You notice they keep on coming up with new diseases. It seems like every year we got a new disease we're supposed to be afraid of. You know, when I was a kid, it was sleeping sickness. They were having to vaccinate all our horses for sleeping sickness. And then they were afraid people were going to get it. And then they come up with a new one. Then they come up with West Nile. But here's the thing about people, is people will believe nearly anything the devil tells them. Somebody on TV will say, man, you better be careful because you get bit by a mosquito, you're going to get the West Nile. You can't believe how many people were just signing up, lining up and signing up, waiting for the West Nile. And then the COVID thing hit. You know, we had the bird flu, we had all kinds of different things. Have you noticed that we're mostly still here? Intact. The COVID bug didn't get us. The bird flu didn't get us. They come up with a new one every year. You can't keep track of them. But it's still by His blood that preserves us. Here we're going to get to go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. We're going to look at that internal bleeding a little closer. Just in case there's somebody out there listening on Facebook or on the website that needs this. Verse 26, Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. Yeah, chapter 27, verse 26 says, Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered them to be crucified. He had internal bleeding, which is from that intense beating. He didn't just get stripes on his back. They beat him. He was beaten and bruised for us. So what was redeemed, our forgiveness and liberty from the hold of transgressions and iniquities. Remember, he took these deep, this deep, intense internal bleeding so you can get healing inside the deep parts of your heart that you've been protecting. Transgression is something that you do with full knowledge that it is a wrong thing to do. It is a willful sin. And iniquity is a weakness or a fault that you were born with. It could be, you know, like father, like son. You know, sometimes sons have a lot of the same traits as their fathers do. Sometimes they have strengths and sometimes they have iniquities. But we get healing from that. We get freedom from our iniquities. We get freedom from our transgressions. Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. When they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed a knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." So he had a crown of thorns, and it was our peace of mind and healing from mental torment. Huh? From the shedding of the blood when he got that crown of thorns. We get peace of mind and we get healing from mental torment. There's a lot of people that need to know that his shed blood will free them from that mental torment. I suppose there's a lot of people with PTSD that could get a hold of this verse. See, Jesus shed his blood for our freedom. There's too many people running to the doctor to get these pills to give them peace of mind and freedom from mental torment, when actually they could run to the blood of Jesus and get true freedom, get true peace, get true joy. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And that's in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. It says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So there's where our peace of mind comes from the blood of Jesus. We're not gonna get through all of these notes, so we'll stop there and we'll save some for next Wednesday. So Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the peace and the healing and the protection that comes from the shed blood of Jesus. We thank you for everything that the blood of Jesus has done for us. How it made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. How it gives us boldness to enter into your presence. The blood of Jesus done something that no man could ever do. It made us the sons of God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember the pastor that I had at the time when I told him, I said, "I think Jesus did something seven times with the blood of Jesus." He said, "Hey, that's a good idea. Go find it." You're not going to just tell me? I said, "No, you're going to go find it." Oh, okay.